Thank you, Luke. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, John Paul.
Good morning to those of you at home. Is this farther up? No? Okay. I'm used to it being, I feel like it's been a little farther back. Maybe I'm just getting paranoid. Maybe it is. The snow is moving the podium. I hope all of you are at home or staying warm. You're staying safe. You made probably the correct decision to stay home today because it is coming down quite a bit. I stopped for less than a minute to let David into my car. In less than a minute, snow had already covered all of my windshield. That's how fast it was coming down today. But there are a few of us here. I counted 22. And there's at least 20 different devices viewing online. So that probably means that somewhere between 50 and 60 people are at least participating. And that's a good thing, right? So let's praise God that we at least have a way where we can fellowship together. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you give us every single day. We thank you for the worship that we have with you, the fellowship we have with you. And no, we're not all here in body, we can be together in spirit. Please be with us in our worship and our lesson. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are moving on. Got to turn this on. To the next part of our lesson where we'll be focusing on the Ten Commandments. Before we get there, we have our Bible study for the week. We'll be looking at Exodus and Leviticus in the Old Testament and 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, which is good because at this point in the Old Testament, we're moving on from prose, which a lot of people prefer to read prose, to legalism. I guess that's the best way to put it. Legalism. Who likes studying those boring law books? Certainly not me. But they are there, and they are there for a good, very good reason. But then we move on to, like I said, New Testament, which is going to help you through those boring parts of the Old Testament, where we're going to read about Paul's reconciliation with the church in Corinth, which is really good. And that's probably where our next lesson will be next week. And as always, you can find these questions on Facebook. Now, a few years ago, I actually did a series on Moses. I did 3 or 4 lessons. I can't remember how many. And last week, I kind of drew on one of those old lessons. And today, I'm going to kind of do the same thing. And so a few years ago, shortly after I got here in October, I said, I want you all to take out a piece of paper. And so if you guys have access to a piece of paper, especially I know you at home, you might have an easier access to a piece of paper. You guys can use your bulletins. And I want you to list the Ten Commandments. Bonus points if you can list them in order. And the prize is the satisfaction of knowing you remembered your Bible school education. But no, it's just the Ten Commandments, they're there. You can see this is what they look like in tablet form and in Hebrew form. You'll notice that there's a single word that appears quite a bit in all those Ten Commandments. Anybody know what that word is? It means no. Or not, more specifically. But essentially, that's how often that word is used in the Ten Commandments. Not or no. So why am I having you do this? Well, I'm having you do this for the same reason I had you do this a few years ago. And as well, we'll talk about it at the end. But as I'm talking, go ahead and list them, see if you can figure out what they are. But, you know, I'm giving you this test because people in general care about the Ten Commandments. Even people who are not Jews or Christians care about the Ten Commandments because they believe they have significant moral and ethical values. 84% of people in the United States, you're looking at about 70% of those are probably Christian. Maybe that's only if 100% of Christians are those 84% of people, believe that they are a standard for everyday life. A lot of people believe that they're okay with being seen in public places because of how they view them in that favorable manner. However, people just don't know the Ten Commandments. A lot of people think that the Golden Rule is one of those Ten Commandments. And while we really don't see the Golden Rule till Matthew. Yeah, I think it's Matthew. But it is kind of echoed in the Old Testament. Jesus himself is probably quoting the Jewish Talmud. when he speaks about the golden rule. But so that just kind of illustrates that while people like the idea of the Ten Commandments, they don't even know what it is. And as that poll shows, only 30% of people can name three of them. So there are 10. That's why I want to see where you fall in that 30%. But as... Well, okay. That didn't happen when I was practicing. As Christians, we understand that there has to be a standard. And so when we looked at what that standard is there relevance to the Ten Commandments as being a Christian? And so you probably, when you think about the Ten Commandments, you think about one of these, you probably say something like this. Why do I bother with the Ten Commandments? Or, we're not under the law, are we? And yes, that is correct. We are not under the law. We are under the essentially law of grace or the law of love. Or maybe you think of the Ten Commandments like how the Jews think of the Ten Commandments, or not the Jews, the Pharisees think of the Ten Commandments. You look at it as a form of legalism. Or maybe you're like, oh, do I really have to do this again? I learned that a long time ago when I was a little kid. I still know them. Maybe that's why you're taking the test. and then they're really not all that important. But they are a very good standard. They're not just based on any standard. And so we understand that for society to exist, society has to follow a set of rules and regulations that everyone can agree by. And there's really three ways that we can look towards following that rules and regulations. The first one is human feelings. This is also the worst way to do it. We do not make rules based on human feelings. I don't want to make any of you feel bad, but I'm sorry, it's the truth. Just because you feel bad about something, or just because you prefer one thing to be another way, doesn't mean that it is necessarily a better way. And the interesting thing about that is that you're going to have a lot of people that feel exactly the same opposite. That one of the problems with feelings is they often ignore the facts that are there. As a political pundit is very fond of saying, facts do not care about your feelings. And so that's just one of the main problems why we can't really base a standard off of feelings. So we might say, okay, what about majority rule? Well, we like democracy, right? You guys like democracy? We like the idea of a democracy. Yes, the United States is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And a lot of people are like, okay, why don't we make a standard based on the majority rule? Well, we kind of saw what happened when a standard is based on a majority rule. We get things like Jim Crow laws. We get things like slavery. We get things like... lack of civil rights. And so that's one of the reasons that I would say you probably don't want a true democracy, is because often a true democracy just means mob rule. I've seen TV start to play this up a lot more. I've seen episodes that show what happens, what could happen when you have a majority constantly making the rules. What happens is it tends to lead to chaos. And so for us, the standard we're looking for is we're looking for a standard that focuses on an absolute. And what is that absolute? God is that absolute. You guys, this slide, or at least this point right here, these 4 points right here, I don't know if you can see that at home, but the 4 points I have under why God is absolute, do those 4 points look familiar to you? Not just last week, this is the third week in a row I have had these 4 points. This is why God is so awesome, is these 4 points alone. And if you could take anything from the lessons that I'm doing this year, the lessons in focusing on Scripture, it should be these 4 points. This is why God is absolute. He is the creator, the sustainer, he is self-existent, he's immutable, he's eternal in his existence. He cannot change, he is the epitome of good, and so anything that we could have as a people is best served by coming from him. And what does he give us? Does he give us the law? Yes, he gave us the law. But that's not how we're saved. He essentially says, you may have the law, sure, but you are saved by God's grace and you are saved by God's mercy. And so one of the reasons God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments was, yeah, he wanted the people to understand who he was, but he also wanted the people to understand that he loved them so much that he was not going to let them suffer. That way, in the very first thing he mentions in verse 2, is he is the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. He did this to establish them as his people. But also, as I said, he did this to create order. That's essentially what Genesis chapter 1 is. It's God creating order out of chaos. And that's a rebuttal on the Babylonian creation stories. There's just chaos all the time. The gods are always creating chaos. But no, our God is the God who creates order out of chaos. And he always does it for the exact same reason. Because he loves his creation so much. But when you read the Ten Commandments, you're going to probably ignore the most important part of the Ten Commandments because it's the first thing you read, and it doesn't seem that important in the grand scheme of things. But it is the most important part. It's the very first thing he says, or the text says, and it says, God spoke all of these words. And because God spoke all of these words, we understand that the words themselves must be taken seriously. I'm talking always. Even those laws that come after, the ones that are based off the Ten Commandments, the ones you've been reading this week that tell you about how to build the tabernacle, how to build Aaron's clothes as the priesthood, how to build the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm trying to think of some others, but very boring stuff, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about it. But because they are God's spoken words, we understand that they are words that are to not only be taken seriously, but deserve our attention. And when we look at them in terms of good living, we also understand that they have good, lasting moral effects. And we don't have to wonder about God's intentions and what they mean. Because we understand, because they came from God, they must be good. So he says he spoke, as the psalmist says, he spoke and it came in and he commanded and it stood firm. So it all goes back to what I said. It all goes back to who God is. That slide I've shown you three times already. God is true. He demands what is right because we understand that he is absolute. What he says can be proven to be true. It cannot be appealed, abolished, surpassed, and that it can be as valid as today as it is in the time of Moses. But we as Christians, there's not really any commandment for us to follow the Ten Commandments. But if you look at almost every single commandment in the Ten Commandments, these are essentially reiterated by Jesus, except for one. Honor the Sabbath. Oh, look, I gave you guys one. So if you're still working, you got one. But I won't tell you which one. Yes, it's one of the ten. And the reason that Jesus doesn't cover that particular one is because he says he is Lord over the Sabbath. So we know that Jesus is essentially greater than the Sabbath. So we honor the Sabbath by honoring the Lord of the Sabbath. So again, we still honor the Sabbath and keep it holy because of who Christ is. And furthermore, like I said in the beginning, that word that shows up seven times in the Ten Commandments is so important. But this also word illustrates God's love for us, is that he loves us enough to tell us no. You guys tell your children no? All the time. I think I told my children no like three times this morning. They got their Valentine gifts today, and they're like, can we open them? And I'm like, okay. And then they're like, can we open yours? No, that's mine. You don't get mine. But yes, we tell them no, not because we spite them, but because we understand that by not telling them no, the same reason that God tells us no, is that it's going to lead to chaos. So no brings back in that God putting us on the right path, just like we tell our children no, to make sure they are on the right path. So, jumping ahead, I'm going to actually skip this one. How did you guys do? Did you try? Did you get all 10? You got all 10? No? Oh, you try? Did you get them all in order? No? It's fine. They will not be graded. I'll leave that up between you and God. And The good thing is you guys don't have to memorize them because they're all there in Exodus chapter 20. And I think they're in Deuteronomy too. I can't recall that off the top of my head. But they are there in the Bible, at least so you can look them up. But out of all of those that I think you should definitely know are those first three. The three that basically sets the standard for all other rules that are in there. That He is God alone. You will not take His name in vain, and you will not make any images. I think I mixed those two up. So number two and number three, they're flopped. Yes, those are the ten out of the Ten Commandments. Those are the three I think you should definitely know because they specifically have to do with your relationship with God. Are you worshiping other things? Maybe not other false gods, but are you treating things like God, that you're putting them above God? Are you taking His name in vain? Are you using it incorrectly? Are you swearing a lot? That's kind of how we consider to be taking His name in vain. And Jesus kind of iterates this point by saying, don't swear by the temple. But He's essentially saying that same thing by saying, we don't swear by God. But as Christians, even though we don't find salvation in the law, we understand that there are still things we are commanded to do, which now brings us all the way back to Peter. I could have chosen any text basically to do this, but if you read Peter's chapter 2 and 3, he's going to illustrate all these commandments that are essentially coming from Christ and God that Christians are still expected to do, even though they are not under the law, but they are under grace. Why is that? Because this is how you be a better Christian. If you look at your house, your body is the temple, right? Your body is the house. I'm going to use house illustration. I think that sounds better. And the foundation of it is your faith. Okay? Think of these commands as the walls. All right? Now, if you think of the commands as the walls and you think of sin as termites, now, sin is slowly eating at the walls to the point where they just crumble and crash down on the faith. And now the people see you who you really are, as Jesus describes it to the Pharisees, empty inside and whitewashed inside. And so we do this so the world kind of sees who we are and what God expects from us, and how what we do is not because we want to be seen like the Pharisees wanted to be seen, but what we do is because we understand that is right. So the very first thing that Peter says to make sure we do is to get rid of the bad stuff. Clean out the bad stuff. Rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Crave spiritual milk. Don't live on spiritual milk, but still crave it, because that is what builds your foundation. Your whole foundation is built on your belief in Jesus Christ. And that is what He means by craving spiritual milk. Offer spiritual sacrifices. God doesn't care about the blood of bulls and goats. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that we are to sacrifice animals. But it does say we are supposed to sacrifice ourselves, and especially those things that are keeping us from God. And this is what Peter is illustrating here. Abstain from sinful desires. See, a lot of what Peter is going to tell you is don't do this. Live good lives so even those who are not believers can see who you are, for the point that they too might believe. Submit yourselves to every human authority. This is reiterated in Romans. Live as free people, or as he says, God's slaves. And don't use that freedom for evil. Always use it to do good. Don't retaliate for evil. So if someone is being bad to you, how are you supposed to be to them? You're supposed to be kind. You're supposed to be noble. You were supposed to be good. You don't always have to take it. You could also walk away, unless for some reason you can't walk away. But we follow Christ's example here. Christ was constantly treated badly. And how did Christ treat them? He did not treat them like He treated them. He upheld the most important rule that He said, the golden rule. Show proper respect, love your family, serve God, honor your leader. He says emperor here in the ESV text, but the idea is honor those who are in charge of you, and trust the one that that judges justly. And here, trust in God. He goes on in chapter 3 to elaborate more. Husbands, submit to your, be considerate to your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Replace evil with every blessing and keep a good conscience. You do all of that. Are you going to be perfect? Absolutely not. I make no promise of this. But if you do that, I guarantee you, your walls are going to be as solid as oak. Oak's pretty solid wood, I hear. And they will stand firm in the test of time. Sometimes you're going to mess up. Yeah, and that happens, and that's okay. But we understand that we have these commandments there to help us. Not to save us. They're there to help us. And so as a way, they act as a self-assessment for how we're judging our spiritual walk. So if you find yourself giving in to sin, you find yourself repaying evil for evil or throwing out insults or maybe lying, saying a bad word here or two, I can guarantee you that the more and more you do that, the more and more those walls are going to start to crumble. And at some point, Jesus is going to come, or you're going to be in front of God, and He's going to hold you accountable for those actions. And if you're not in Christ because you let those walls crumble, then you're going to fall away. He's going to say, "I never knew you." Our time on this earth should not be like a feather in the wind. It should always be like an anchor tied to the rock, with Christ as our anchor. And how we spend our time should always be done intentionally and wisely. So how are you guys using your time? I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday when I'm doing my lessons on how to love your Bible. Are you spending your time watching TV all the time, or are you spending your time in the Word of God? And if you build good habits come out of other good habits. So watch those lessons as well. Again, I cannot emphasize that we are not saved by these rules. But we do find helpfulness, we do find assessment, and we can find liberty in what they do have to offer. And that is to make us not only better Christians, but closer to Christ. And while nobody is ever going to be perfect, these are standards that we try to live by, not ones that we're always going to uphold. And we don't do, and we don't ignore them for the same reasons Paul says, why would you keep sinning? When it doesn't make grace any better. You need to stop sinning and give glory to God. I know that's paraphrase. But they're there, and they're there all for us because God loves us and He loves you. And He understands that sometimes you're going to mess up. But the best thing you could do is stand back up and try again. Because as long as you keep trying, you are on the right path to finding God. And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult. But fortunately, as a family, we never have to do it alone. And if there's anything we can help you with, or if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.